morning.
Good morning.
Okay, do you?
Yeah.
Yep.
Good. Lovely to be here. It's been about a year since I last was here. So nice to see your faces and see hear a bit about what God's been doing amongst you. Great privilege to be here. Perhaps I can just fill you in with a little bit of what I've been doing, what we'll be doing. Next week, if any of you are available, we'll be doing an outreach with South Downs Church. So Friday night, there is a meeting there, and then all day Saturday, we've got training, and then going out, putting into practice what we learn, talking to people on the streets, praying with people where possible, and then there's a barbecue in the evening where you can invite a friend to. So anybody who would like to come along, you're very welcome. Be putting things into practice of the gospel. So that's at South Downs Church. It's not, I think I'm using this. My first time there, so I don't know them at all. So it'd be good to spend time with them. Thank you. Thank you. I've just come back from Spain, Malaga. So slight change of temperature. And I've been getting involved with a church in Spain, in Malaga, 2 months there, a church plant just outside Malaga, and that's been really good. So I've been out and about France since I last saw you, various countries, helping churches with evangelism, helping to equip churches, and looking to God for the move of His Spirit in all sorts of situations. In 2 weeks' time, we've got our first activity in the north of France, where we're gathering churches, some churches and Christians, for a time together in just north of Dunkirk, so it's not far from here. And it's called Life in the Spirit Weekend. And we're starting to do that every year to draw churches together, something that goes on regularly in the UK, but much less in Europe, and especially in France. So we're doing that in a couple of 3 weeks' time. So looking forward to that. And that will be in French. But any Brits that want to come, you're very welcome. You'll just have to work out the diction of what's being said. translation at the moment. But we may open it up to more translation later another year. So that's what we've been up to. All the stuff is on the internet if ever you're interested. JesusEurope.org. All the programs are there. A word just on my heart today to encourage you, really. It's a bit of a salad, a mixture of different things that are on my heart that I wanted to just share with you. Various thoughts, really. As we were just talking there earlier, I thought to myself, as things around us become more and more dark, really one of the main places where we are going to be and should be hearing good news is actually the church. That will be the place where positive good news should be coming, because the Spirit of God is at work doing real things, changing people's lives, and that will be the place to come to hear good news. There's not a lot when we listen to the news on the TV and so much that is distorted, and you never know if it's a lie or half a lie or whatever else, the motivation behind it is often crooked. But when we come and hear what the Lord Jesus is doing, we can hear powerful encounters of the Holy Spirit changing people's lives, healing people's lives, being sorted out inside, and the power of God at work. And that's good news. That does something to the spirit of a human being, because we were designed to be encouraged by good news. God is at work. So, just to encourage you, God wants to work through you as His people. God, I don't believe God looks too much at numbers. He looks at what is in a person's heart. And where there is genuine faith and trust in God, God will move. If you have 200 people hoping and one person in faith, where will God move? God will move through faith. And it's not the numbers. God is above that. So that's encouraging for us in this world. So I want to speak a little bit this morning, really about work of the Holy Spirit and how He moves in our lives, and just work through a few things in our thinking to help us. Often when truth comes, I'm very aware that truth says something that alters our perspective. When truth comes, it suddenly clicks inside, affects our spirit, and it changes the way, or can change the way we think and then do things. And it doesn't actually come into operation until it becomes an action. We can be filled with all sorts of thoughts and good things, but it has to become an action, or it then becomes something that changes life, including my life. And when I move out into action, God proves Himself to us, and that changes me. That will change me. I had that experience recently when I went to Malaga, and it was a bit of a scary experience. Often when you're going to take a step out in God, there will be a fear issue. Because why? Because you will be stepping out into the unknown. With God, it's, you know, God, are you there? You're stepping into the unknown. And we live in a life at the moment where, especially in the world, everybody is looking for security, because the world is all over the place. And the test comes. It's the test for the church. It's the test for each one of us. And in the world, your security is connected often to things attached to this world. And often money is a big issue. But a fear comes. But I haven't got that security in place. And that's the test. But our real security is not in the things of this world. And that can often draw us into the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the true security, because He is eternal. And what He's done in you is eternal.
Yeah.
And when we get our sights correctly connected in with what He's about, what He's doing in His Word, our security comes from other things than what the world offers. So we walk a different walk, and we're relying on different things. And this recent, I went to Spain, and it was amazing how it happened. I didn't know the situation whatsoever. A friend of a friend of a friend gave me a telephone number and a face, and that's all I knew. And I thought, my goodness, I'm about to go to this place for a good number of weeks. I don't know them from Adam. What will happen? That's often the test. And as I went down there, God wonderfully opened some amazing doors. And I thought to myself, boy, if I hadn't taken that jump, it would never have opened up to what is now going to happen, because that will now become a base for me down in Malaga. And I thought, boy, if I hadn't done that, that would not have happened. And faith opens doors to things that we did not see before. Suddenly, that door is open. You think, boy, all these opportunities because of that small jump. And sometimes a small jump into something in the unknown can open some very big doors. But that's the step of faith. And God has posed the question already in Scripture: when He comes again, will He find
faith?
Will He find faith on the earth? The only people in whom faith exists are those who are born again. And it comes from God. God gives faith. You can't muster it up. Faith is either a fruit or a gift. And the more you use and walk by faith and see that God is faithful, the bigger you'll grow inside. Something happens to you inside, you know that He's in charge, that He is guiding things, and that you look in a very different place for your security. And the world is screaming this and that, but we're looking at the Father, trusting Him. And actually, we see often the opposite to how the world looks. The world will begin to look at, oh no, it's the end. But we who walk with God say, wow, what an opportunity we have now for the gospel. this would be a great end time harvest. So two very different ways of looking at what's going on. If God is sovereign and the orchestrator of all things, he will allow things to happen at the moment beyond us, not necessarily involving his church, because he works way above his just the church. And Jeremiah says he stirred up the spirit of frustration. Sometimes God can stir a spirit in the world that calls the jigsaw puzzle to change in all sorts of ways that can bring insecurity. But God allows it. And then he has a plan to move in his way. Not in a way that we would often ever think.
That's right, yeah.
It's beyond our thinking. If we're looking in the right direction, we're okay. If we're looking in the wrong direction, woo! Can get a bit... So, there we go. I want us just to look at a few things, and I'm assuming this morning that we have a bit of scripture understanding, and I'll just work through a few things. The first thing is, in Matthew 13, I'll throw out the scriptures, you can look at them when you get home, it speaks about the story of the sower of seed. You know the story? A sower went out to sow the seed, and as the seed fell, one of the main things was where did the seed fall? Various things came along and snatched the seed away. Heat, dicky birds, stones, cares of this world, various things that God gives. And Jesus said to his disciples, this is the key to understanding all the other parables. The understanding of that parable, which in hindsight we look at that and say, well, how did they not understand that? So the seed is very important, and where the seed falls, the heart is where the seed falls, and the condition of the heart will determine what that seed does. And in good ground, that can produce fruit. Now, what God is looking for is fruit. What God is looking for is fruit. Fruit in all sorts of ways in our lives. Because fruit will glorify him. Fruit through his church. Fruit through me as an individual. One of the things that we learn as we walk in the Christian life, I've had to learn, sometimes it can be a very painful lesson for some. And for myself also, is that he is the originator. He started, and it's not to do with me. Trying to do God's work in our own strength, it's a painful process of having to learn that it's him, his church, his work. How do I connect with what he is doing? To be simply a tool in his hands. So where the seed falls is very important. Some seed will fall on ground where it will produce nothing at all. Many seeds do. But other seed falls on hearts that want God to do his work in their lives. And that's a whole walk with him. Learning to walk with him. Now, in Matthew, I'm going to pick out two things from those scriptures. Matthew 13, 12 says, whoever has will be given more. And they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken away. So once I've received, once the basis is there, the seed is in, God's heart for me is abundance. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
It gives something of the heart of God away. He wants abundance. Abundant life. Another scripture. Living life in abundance. And the more I learn to walk with him, the more he wants abundance for my life. Verse 16, it says, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Did the disciples see? Did they hear? Mark, on the same parable, 4:13 says, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? So Jesus is saying, you hear and you see, but you're not seeing and you're not hearing. How do we equate the two? Jesus did the same thing with faith with his disciples. He stuck them in a boat, and a great storm came along. And they all wanting, shouting out, we're going to die, we're going to die. Jesus gets up and calms the storm. And then he says to them, where's your faith? Yeah. Don't you see it? Faith what? So Jesus saw potential in them. It was there, but they were not seeing it. They were seeing, but they weren't seeing. So that tells us something about the kingdom. When the seed is in our hearts, something of the kingdom is within us, we have great potential and great capacity. But we've got to learn to walk with him, to see as he sees, hear as he hears, and see the things of the Spirit. We are firstly called to be a spiritual people. What's going on in the world today is all about the spiritual dimension. And we're called to a spiritual dimension. When the Holy Spirit moves, he will break through and set people free. Yeah. And suddenly in the flesh, something happens to them. Something in the way they think changes. It's the same with us. The more we walk in the Spirit, the more we transform interiorly in the way we think. We see things in a different way. It's a spiritual dimension because we are spiritual people. The more we walk with that, the more God will use us. So, this whole realm, they were seeing, but they were not seeing. They had faith, but they didn't see it. And they had to walk and be filled with his word and his Holy Spirit before they began to function fully in what was actually in them. Now, when I am born again, I just want to add this bit to us. When I'm born again, things happen in the spiritual world that I do not understand, but I need to understand in time, that help me in my relationship with God. The moment that I open my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Jesus, I accept you into my life. I want to follow you. I'm now going to take steps of faith with you and begin to change my life, to walk in line with what your word says. There is a miracle of new birth. The seed is planted in my heart. I am born again. That is the miracle of God. Only God can do that. I can come to church every week and hear all the knowledge about it, but until I take that step, I do not belong to him. When that happens, Romans 6:3-5, it speaks about me being baptized into his death. It speaks of me being connected to his death. It speaks of me being united with him in his death. And so being born again, the miracle of receiving that I feel his peace, I feel his joy, my sin is dealt with, at that moment, I am connected to Jesus' death. Scripture says I carry the death of the Lord Jesus Christ around in me. That death brings life. And that process, Jesus died on the cross, just as Eve was warned, take that fruit and you will die. And all humanity was connected in that death when Adam and Eve took that. In the same way, when Jesus died on the cross and I accept him into my life, I am connected to that death. And that death followed on to resurrection. And that resurrection followed on to life. The second breath of life. And I have that second breath at my feet as a born-again Christian. The presence of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the Kingdom of God dwells within me.
Yeah, that's right.
Hallelujah. In French, it says, we become one plant with Him. Interpretation in French. It's like a plant. We are suddenly connected with Him. This is why, even at the communion table, we're remembering something that has connected us with Him. Very powerful.
Yeah.
Now, in John 14:20, John 13:14-15-16 speaks about this connection that we have with God. Other pictures are like marriage. Man and woman come together, they become one.
Yeah.
That unity, not fully understood, the two spirits become one spirit. Now, in Jesus, John 14:20, it says, on that day, in other words, on that day when the Holy Spirit comes, you will realize that I am in the Father, you are in me, and I'm in you. Now, you can't get much closer than that. So, I'm in the Father, Jesus is in the Father, and I'm in Jesus. So, it's like having two coats on, two layers. Now, the scriptures speak about being clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, the scriptures tell us. To get another language, to say what's happened. I've got two coats. I'm in Jesus, who's in the Father. He's in me, and I'm in Him. And it's this language of this, how we are so bound up with the Trinity. I carry something of the kingdom that's very powerful within me. And that needs to be transformed in the way I think and my identity. John 15:4 speaks about the fruit I've already mentioned. From the seed that's been planted that will grow to bring forth fruit. John 15:4 says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in me. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So this relationship with Him is what it's all about.
Amen.
One of the key things in these days is your personal relationship with Him. If you only get fed on Sunday mornings, there's something wrong in your relationship with Him.
Amen.
It's not actively alive. There's something wrong. A real relationship is something that you cherish every day. His presence, His word, He speaks to you. His word coming in and feeding you. Just enjoying Him, loving Him, going walking down the road, talking with Him, allowing Him to guide you into conversations with people. Pray for people. You bring wisdom into a situation because that connection is so powerful in you.
Yeah.
Now, you can cut yourself off from living and bearing fruit. Because I'm a Christian, it's all finished. And you can think and be affected and influenced totally by the world if you want to.
Yeah.
You could be born again. And you're more influenced by the world's thinking than you are by what God has placed within you. And you can do that if you wish. But you'll be torn apart. It's not an easy life. It's not an easy life. And we can function like the world does. And yet we carry such a powerful person within us that can transform us into another way of thinking. John 15:14-17 speaks about, you did not choose me. And this is the honour we have. You did not choose me, I chose you. So who initiated?
Jesus.
He chose you. Why? Well, that's a mystery. That is a mystery. But I'm just so thankful He chose me, not me.
Yes.
And my only response to that is, Lord Jesus, I want to praise you. I want to adore you. I want my life to count for you. In the years I've got left, I want to serve you with everything I am and I've got. That's my sacrifice to him. I want to talk to as many people as I can about Jesus. I want to put my hands on as many sick people as I can to see them healed. Because I carry this relationship within me. And I believe you want to do it through me, Jesus.
Yeah.
Every opportunity I want to see, Father, how is this your will? What are you speaking to me? How are you going to speak to me through it? Father, I want to turn this round into something that is positive and through which I can grow through it, because you are in charge. There are many things I do not understand, but Father, I trust you. Now, there's two areas that I want us just to look at. I just finished that verse because that's an important bit. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. So the more I line up with the Father's will, the more I'm walking in that relationship with him, the more I'm hearing his voice, the more I begin to reflect something of the kingdom. The more I begin to pray, he gives me his thoughts and I pray and see him at work. It's not always what I want, but learning to pray in the way he wants me to pray. Now, Jesus demonstrated in a very natural way just the miracle of the presence of the Holy Spirit. I thought about it the other day. We can become very familiar, what's the word, when Jesus went to his hometown, all they could see was Jesus as a little boy. They couldn't see who he really was. And we can become very familiarized with what's going on within us. I remember when I got saved, one of the things that hit me at the age of 17 was just the sense of peace and joy that came into my heart inside. I thought, wow, first time in my life, just the sense I'm free, his love, his joy, I could feel that inside. And as I walk with him, that feeling becomes more and more familiar. When I sing, I know it. Ouch! I shouldn't be doing that. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I reevaluate things. I shouldn't have looked at that. I shouldn't be listening to this. And ouch, because there is somebody inside me that echoes, that's not good. That's going to not line up with kingdom thinking. And more, the peace and the joy of the Holy Spirit, it becomes my lot. And we forget that in the world, people don't have that peace. They don't have that joy. They don't know what that is, that dimension with God, that satisfaction that he gives. And we just need to be sensitive, learn to be sensitive to the way he speaks to me. And when I'm speaking with others, people haven't tasted to see that it's good. They don't know that dimension. And well, the more we walk with him, the more we have peace and a joy and a sense of thank you, Father. I'm in the centre of your will. Thank you, Father. Help me. Now, when Jesus walked the earth, he was just living certain things that we don't always click onto immediately. When Jesus came on the earth, he came with a clear mission. And I've got another message on all the things that Jesus accomplished as he walked on the earth. But Jesus did not come thinking to himself, Isaiah 55 verse 6. I've got to get that one done before I get to the cross. What else have we got here? I've got another 120 to fill up before I... He didn't function like that. He just walked in the Father's will and amazingly accomplished, I don't know how many it is, some theologian would tell me, how many, all the promises and the things that were fulfilled by the moment you reached the cross. There was no effort. He didn't say, blow, that one should have come there. It just happened. That's a total miracle. That's the Father's doing. And through the scriptures, suddenly somebody says something and Pilate's wife gets a dream. And just at that, the Spirit of God was orchestrating the whole thing and without effort. And as we walk with the Father, God organises things and we begin to see his hand at work. I think the more I walk with the Father, the more we begin to recognise things which earlier in my life I just didn't see them.
Yeah.
I just didn't see it. And the more we walk with God, we see him at work. And we think, thank you, Jesus. That parking place, how did that just come up at that moment? That connection in Malaga, Lord, that was a miracle. It's only you that could have orchestrated that one. And now I've got a great door into the south of Spain. Lord, we live in a supernatural, with a supernatural God. You get on a bus and you end up talking to somebody and suddenly you're able to share about Jesus. Wow, Lord, this is of you. I've sensed it. God's organising because God's on the case of that person's heart. And he's brought you into that situation. That is our God. As we begin to walk and see him at work. That's what he wants. He wants that relationship, that we're aware of his presence. Now, Jesus operated in a way which is absolutely amazing. Now, just a little bit of confirmation for me this morning, because I read about Judas. As Judas, in his heart, the seed that was sown in his heart began to take root and produce fruit. And probably, as is often the case in circumstances of life, the circumstances of life often bring out what is actually in our hearts. And we either deal with them in a godly way, or we just couldn't care less and carry on. And one of those things for Judas was, when a woman who was touched by the power of God came to Jesus, was crying her eyes out in repentance, and Jesus didn't say a word to her hardly, and she allowed the tears to wash his feet, pours the perfume over him as a magnificent form of worship to him. Jesus knew exactly what was going on. Jesus saw the Father at work. We have to learn to see when the Father is at work. Otherwise we can wrongly interpret it. How did Judas see it? What a waste. Money! You know, he's wasting our money. What's in the heart? Suddenly it's being revealed. It was coming up. Jesus knew exactly where Judas was at. Jesus knew his thoughts, his motivations. Jesus didn't do anything. And the most amazing point, I think, is when Jesus comes to wash their feet. He came to show them an act of servant mentality. Our attitude towards others in the church, outside the church, of serving. It's an attitude, a heart attitude, which is not always easy. We need his strength. Now, Peter makes a great, blows it. He's an extremist from one extreme to the other. But the fact that Jesus bent down and washed Judas's feet, Jesus knowing what Judas is about to do. Judas, the seed that had been put in his heart, had taken root. And it was coming to its fruit, which was to basically take Jesus to the cross. betraying it to a different sort of seed that can be sown in the heart. And Jesus washes his feet in a servant attitude, the fruit of the Spirit coming from within. We see that the power of God through his life in his attitude to others. And so there's that fruit that comes from our characters, from the way we think and serve others. That's how the Holy Spirit comes and touches people. And then, a little bit later, I'll rag in this bit. What time do we... we'll tie that one up. Just another thought for you here. This whole story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, which is an amazing one, and I think the key is around how he washed Judas's feet, rather than Peter's. The title is Peter's reaction, but I think it's more about Judas. It says in verse 11 of that story, John 13, verse 11, for he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. So Jesus knew who was going to betray him. Then he says in verse 21, after he said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, very truly I tell you, one of you is going to betray me. That must have been so difficult for Jesus to handle. He'd given his life for the 12. He saw great potential in them. He saw them carrying the baton and carried on. And he's got one who's a really bad apple. And the seed that was in his heart has overtaken him. And Judas just did not see it. He did not see it, blinded. When we walk in the world, we do not see things. People often go to their death not seeing anything of what's yet to come afterwards. It's the horror of the whole thing. Swept into eternity, not realizing eternity is just after the last breath, judgment. And it says in, I found fascinating just studying this, in John chapter 14, verse 1, just a few verses later, Jesus is troubled in spirit because of Judas. And what does Jesus say, 14, verse 1? Don't let your hearts be troubled. So Jesus, who has a troubled spirit because of Judas, then says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Amazing.
Yeah.
You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus, who was troubled in spirit because of Judas, was totally trusting the Father. And Jesus now says to us, you will be troubled sometimes. We're living in a world where we can have troubled spirits. That's not the problem. Put your trust in me. That's got to be bigger. That's got to be bigger. Trust in me. And then, lastly, probably one of the most powerful miracles of many that Jesus did, books could fill them, was when Jesus, in three words, rose Lazarus from the dead. It's all about the Father. The Father said, call him out. Jesus did. Lazarus come forth. And the Father did the miracle. Out came Lazarus. So we see that there is the fruit of the Spirit in Jesus' life, his character, in his attitude to Judas. But he also knew how to listen to the Father and speak healings and miracles to destroy the works of the evil one by proclaiming victory over death, sickness, etc., etc. And out comes Lazarus. Often, when there is supernatural activity, we are left in a battle. And we see that with the reaction of Lazarus. Lazarus walks out. There are actually three reactions. But two of the main ones is, we believe in Jesus. We believe in God. This is amazing. That's one faction. And the other faction is, let's go and kill him. A whole group of them said, we're going to use this to kill him. Yeah, two extremes. When the powers of the Holy Spirit move, the spiritual world moves, there are often different reactions according to what's inside. It brings things up. And we either react worshipping God, or we can react in a very different way. Again, it's the heart where the seed has fallen, what is growing inside, that determines it. Now, I'd like us to finish on this one verse. 2 minutes late. John 17, verse 23. Just to finish up again, another favourite verse of mine. I in them, and you in me. I in them, and you in me. Again, this amazing relationship. So that they may be brought to complete unity. Full stop. Unity with who? Unity with Trinity. The goal is that I, as I walk with him, and I have unity with the Trinity, I'm transformed more and more by his thinking, his word, his attitudes, etc., etc. And then it says, then the world will know. When I am reflecting Jesus, the world sees it. Because we're the odd ones out. We're walking to a different drum. We're walking to a different way of thinking. We're reacting differently. We're seeing things very, very differently to the world. And the more I am transformed, the more I will be looking things not like the way the world interprets and picks things up. We're looking with the mind of Christ. And what is the Father saying? What's he doing? And that's what we want to be involved in. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you all. May I just pray with you before we close. Lord Jesus.